What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Hotel Mars, episode N. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host, is here, and we're headed 140 light years out to an orange dwarf, thanks to two young men who have helped me understand something about planetary formation I did not know was real. It disintegrates as well as form. We know about the birthing process of planets. David and I have talked about the cloud of dust particles around a new sun that eventually turn into planets, such as ours. But the other way. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. I welcome Mark Hahn, a postdoctoral researcher in the test science team at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, a former NASA Hubble Fellow, and Avi Spohr, research scientist at MIT's Kavli Institute for Astrophysics and Space Research. Avi, I begin with you. There are, in your astrophysical journal paper, noted three previous examples of disintegrating planets, rocky planets. However, you've not been able to use them because of the nature of where they are and their stars are faint, and that doesn't give you good metrics compared to what you've discovered 140 light years out. Let us begin with the orange dwarf that doesn't have a name. Were you looking for this, Avi? And what can you now tell us about what you've discovered? Good evening to you.
Good evening. One of the nicest aspects of this recent discovery is that we were not looking for that. We were looking for regular planets that nothing exciting is going on with them. They're not disintegrating. They're just middle-aged planets. And then Mark actually was going through some data as part of our data analysis pipeline. And he saw the signal of this disintegrating planet, and he knew it's not what we are looking for, but then he was able to quickly understand that it might actually be something interesting, although not what we are looking for.
So,
and then, yeah.
You discovered something that you didn't know you were looking for. That's sometimes called serendipity. Is that what it feels like as an astronomer?
Yes.
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 It's a big universe, and there it was. And did you recognize it right away, Avi, when Mark showed you the stats?
Yeah, so Mark had the feeling this might be something exciting. So he called me over, and we are two offices away from each other. He called me over, and I realized, yeah, it does look like one of those very rare and very difficult to find disintegrating planets, but they're so rare and so difficult to find that I thought, I'm not sure. Let's see. It looks like it, but many times things look like something but end up being not that thing. But then we dived in and looked more carefully, checked more and more details, and it all started to to match.
Let's go to Mark himself, because you had the eureka moment, Mark. What did it feel like when you saw the data?
Well, I wasn't quite sure initially, right? Because when we go through a lot of these signals here at the test science team at MIT, you know, we regularly just see lots of different signals, many of which are false positives. And over time, you tend to just flag targets that seem unusual or interesting. And this was just one of them. I just set it aside. And as Avi mentioned, I just asked him, but does this look unusual or weird? Is this something that we should actually care more about? And upon further inspection, actually, then we actually figured out it was something that was very, very, very unusual. So to answer your question, at first glance, I wasn't really sure. But it was a big eureka moment. I didn't even know that such planet.
Well, let's look at what it looks like. As I understand it, Mark, it is a rocky planet very close into an orange dwarf, which is hot enough, not as cool as a red dwarf and not as hot as our white, yellow dwarf. But it's disintegrating because the heat of the sun, if I read your paper at Astrophysical Journals correctly, is not melting. It's disintegrating dust that then is pulled into an atmosphere, and the atmosphere escapes. I've said this inarticulately. How does the heat turn the dust into something like an atmosphere? What does the atmosphere look like?
I think we lost Mark. He'll be back, but I can take this question.
Sure.
So what happens, this is a very, very small planet. It's probably the size of, smaller than Mars, might be even smaller than Mercury. So it doesn't have that much of a gravity. It cannot hold too much material due to its own gravity, like the Earth is holding on to our atmosphere thanks to Earth's gravity. But that planet is so small, then whatever, and because of the intense heat due to the proximity to its own sun, the material on the surface turns into liquid and then vaporizes. And then it becomes a very small atmosphere, but the planet doesn't have enough mass, enough gravity to hold on to that atmosphere. So that atmosphere just is ejected into space. And then what happens, the planet has something that looks very much like a cometary tail, like we have seen comets in the solar system. So this planet has a long cometary tail, mostly going behind the planet. So almost a half of that planet's orbit, the stretch of that tail is almost half of that planet's orbit. And that gives us a very strong and big signal that we see in that data, in our data.
So it becomes like a comet. David, you have a question for Avi.
Avi, since you're looking at light 140 light years away, how would this planet have changed if you could see it real time today? And do you mostly study what's in the tail, or do you look to study the planet itself?
So this is indeed about 140 light years away. So what we see today is essentially how the star looked, or the system looked 140 years ago. Now, 140 years is very long in a human lifetime. It's actually longer than much longer than a typical human lifetime. 140 years ago was the end of the 19th century, so it's pretty long ago. But in the lifetime of a star, 140 years is literally a few seconds in the lifetime of a human. So 140 years is very short. So we don't expect that this system looks significantly different right this moment had we been able to actually go there and look and take a close look.
Mark, we need two metrics.
As we said,
we need two metrics. Mark's rejoined us. Avi's explained to us the dust into the atmosphere and not enough gravity to hold it. It escapes into space and turns into comet-like tail. How old is the sun, the orange dwarf, and how long will it take for the planet to completely disappear? I believe both those stats are in your piece at Astrophysical Journal.
That's right. So the first is about how old the star is. Is that right?
Yes.
That's right. So based on our estimations, it is at least twice the age of the sun. So about 8 to 10 billion years old. And from our preliminary calculations of how much mass is being lost by the tail, we have an estimate of roughly 1 to 2 million years remaining before the planet's complete disintegration.
And that teaches us what, Mark, about planets disintegrating in that time of period? I think the estimate you give in one of the articles is that it's about a Matterhorn or a big mountain range every day or so. So
yeah.
Does it teach us about planets and how they disintegrate? I didn't know a planet could disintegrate. This is all fresh to me, Mark, so help me. Did we know that?
That planets could disintegrate? Well, it's certainly within the realms of possibility, right? You know, you have really, we've known the existence of these lava worlds for some time now. And in the event that the atmosphere is not being held by the planet really strongly, then sure, the materials within these lava pools from the surface of the planet can, of course, evaporate and be lost right into space.
David, do you have a question for Mark?
Mark, are there other planets in this star system, and what do they appear to be like?
We do not know currently whether there are more planets in this system. But in the event now that we've alerted a lot of people that this is a very interesting system, you know, it could be subject to more long-term monitoring, and we could perhaps find some outer planets in the system.
Avi, I come to you because David and I have learned that there are many, many red dwarfs. It's the most dominant form. And there are many, many planets that orbit very close, sometimes within hours, around the star. And I believe there was even one instance recently where a planet is being pulled into the star. So what we're looking at might be just a normal process in the life and death of planets. I'd never imagined what would happen to a planet once a star died, maybe drift into space. But are we looking at the natural progression, like, you know, the tale of the Sphinx? Four legs in the morning, two legs at noon, and three legs at night. Is that what we're looking at in a planet?
Yes, but the three leg at night happens extremely quickly. And that is the challenge here. As we say in the paper, we estimate that this planet will completely disintegrate and will literally not be there anymore in about 1 million years or 2 million years. That's very long while for humans, but it is very, very short for compared to the lifetime of star.
Right.
It's a few days, essentially, compared to the lifetime of a human. So the challenge here is to detect these phenomena, the disintegration process, as they happen. You have to look at the right place at the right time. And that is why so far discoveries as this one are very rare. It's not necessarily because they do not happen. We think they do happen quite a lot. It's just very difficult to catch them in the act.
Right. You've got to be lucky. Got it. David, you have a question
yes,
for Avi?
Yes, you have to be lucky.
David, you have a question for Avi?
Would most planets melt and evaporate if they were that close to their sun? Or does this planet have an unusual type of rocky surface plus minerals that make it really easy to melt?
So this planet, essentially, it got too close for some reason, which we do not completely understand right now. It got its orbit shrank, and the planet got too close to its star, and then the surface started melting due to the intense heat from the star, and then that melted surface started evaporating, and as it evaporated, the planet was too small to hold on to that atmosphere, so it was ejected into space in a long comet-like tail. Now, then the planet is losing more mass, so the orbit shrinks even more. So the orbit shrinks more, the planet receives more heat from the star, it starts evaporating even more quickly, losing mass more quickly, and the orbit is shrinking even more quickly. So this is what we call a runaway process. So the planet is doomed.
Right.
It was doomed the second it got too close to the star. So that was a point of no return, essentially.
Gentlemen, I want to give time out for a game that David and I play with you wonderful astronomers, which is when we come back, we're going to give you each an unlimited budget. What do you want to do next? What's next for what you've discovered 140 light years away? David Livingston, Dr. Space, is my colleague and co-host and co-pilot. Avi Spohr and Mark Hahn of MIT. And a discovery they weren't looking for.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.